I would like to turn your attention for just a few moments to Philippians, the first chapter, Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be reading in verses 19 and go down through verse 26, 19 through 26 in just a few moments' time. I'd like to remind you as you consider this particular passage that the Apostle Paul here is in prison. And because he is in prison and Caesar could be somewhat capricious and unsteady with regard to his reaction to men, and he was there because he had made his appeal to that man, he really didn't know for certain what would happen while he was in prison. Two possibilities. One would that he would be released eventually. The second would be that he died as a result of the charges that had been brought against him, which led to his imprisonment there. So I want you to note that and keep it in mind as we look at verses 19 through 26 of the text. The Apostle Paul says this, as he's writing to the Philippians, expressing his appreciation to them for the gift that they had sent and his love for that congregation. He said, I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. I've titled my little invitation talk this morning, Confidence in Purpose. And I want you to notice, first of all, that the Apostle Paul lived a purpose-filled life. He was an individual who had been given a ministry, a stewardship, to be an apostle, an ambassador of the Lord, a preacher of the gospel. And that life that he lived systemically and consistently in accord with what Christ expected of him. We look at all of the apostles, and that was the case, especially after the resurrection of our Lord. But because we have so many of the Apostle Paul's writings, we know more about his life and more about his ministry. And we know that he was consistent in his efforts to plant churches everywhere he went and to stand strong despite the various tribulations and persecutions and even just the unhappy accidents that were characteristic of his life. You can go to the second epistle that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the 11th chapter and see a list of unfortunate events in Paul's life, either by nature or by his countrymen or even by his brethren, how he was mistreated. But he never changed in his efforts, never faltered in his commitment to the Lord. He was an ambassador of Christ, a proclaimer of the gospel. He referred to himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He said in Galatians 2, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He was animated by Christ's will. He did whatever it was that Christ would have him to do. And that purpose in his life gave him some assurance. And I want you to note, as you look at that text in chapter 1, verses 19 through 26, the number of times when he says things like, I know, or I have hope, or I... just look, for example, in verse 19. He says, I know that this will turn out for my salvation. He was not concerned about his circumstances as he lived upon the earth and was imprisoned at this particular time because of the confidence that he had in Christ Jesus. In verse 20, he talked about an earnest expectation and hope that was his. And by the way, when we use the word hope, remember that the scriptural concept of hope differs from the usage that we find typically in the English language today. That earnest expectation is a part of that hope. Not only did he want to go to heaven, but he fully expected to get there. That hope was something that he would have realized because of his faithfulness. And then you'll note in verse 21, he says, to die is gain. in verse 22, because of his purpose and because of the help of the Lord, he said that if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. He said in verse 23, as he being hard pressed between the two, he said to depart and be with Christ is far better. He had confidence in the fact that that's what would happen if he was taken from this earth. And then in verse 25, he says, being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you. Now, what does that mean? Well, that confidence is, or that concept of confidence there is referring to something slightly different. While he would be willing to die for the Lord, and he was confident in his standing with God, should he die, it seemed to him, he thought that because of the needs of the brethren, that God would spare his life and he would continue in his ministry. So you'll notice there in verse 24, he said, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, in other words, that they needed him, he said, I know that I shall remain and continue with you. So while he had no certainty, he felt confident that God's purpose for him was not finished on earth. And the Philippians and others had need of him in his ministry. And he was confident that he would be allowed out of prison and to continue his ministry and to go to them again. So those are statements of confidence that are given. And we sometimes ask this question. I just want you to consider it again. Is that upon what basis does Paul have that confidence? Now we know he was an apostle. And we also know that he was an inspired man. I would have you remember that Judas Iscariot was also an apostle. And so the Apostle Paul's confidence was not because of his apostleship. He had been given a stewardship as an apostle, but he could have reneged on his agreement with God. He could have faltered in his efforts and lost his standing with God, just as Judas Iscariot did. We would state also that though he had inspiration to write these epistles and to instruct us in the ways of God, this fact that he was an inspired individual was no guarantee of his standing either. He could do despot to the gift that had been given. And you'll remember that he told Timothy not to neglect the gift of prophecy which had been given to Timothy. It is possible to neglect those things that God has given us. The reason why he was so confident is because he was faithful in his stewardship. And because he was a faithful steward, he thought, knew, was confident that at death he would have the hope of a Christian, the hope of life eternal after he passed from this life. Now there's another passage which states this very clearly. I would like you to go to 2 Timothy, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I would remind you of what actually happened to Paul as he was in prison in Philippi and wrote a number of different epistles from that place. Eventually he was released. And he was able to continue his ministry both to the church at Philippi and to other Christians. Later on, again, he was in prison, and this time he felt it probable that he would lose his life as a result of his imprisonment. But time had passed and more had been accomplished, and he was ready to die. He was ready to go and to be with the Lord on that occasion. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, after he gives a charge to Timothy to preach the word, to be ready or instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, he says in verse 6 of the text, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. It is the case with each and every one of us that one generation passes and the next generation takes its place. And that is especially the case among God's people. How many preachers that I knew growing up that are no longer with us? How many older Christians who fought that good fight until the end, and they have taken their place among those who are in eternity? The fact is that others would take the place of Paul. He was an apostle. He was an important individual, but it was time for him to depart from his life. And so he says, the time of my departure is at hand. And then he said this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. If you want to know the basis of an individual standing before God, the reason for his confidence that he has a hope eternal, it is because he has fought the good fight. He has finished the race. He did not falter. He did not come short of the finish line. He has kept the faith. And so Paul said, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So a moment ago we asked, why was the Apostle Paul so sure? Not because he was an apostle, not because of inspiration, but because he knew God's will, and he knew he had kept his will throughout his life, and he had the promise that God had granted to him. That promise of that crown of righteousness, that righteous judge would give him because of his faithfulness, because of his service. You'll notice in the latter part of that phrase, that will come not to him only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That same confidence can be ours. And so there is confidence in purpose as we live our lives. Just as there was with the Apostle Paul, we can have that same confidence if we have that same purpose. If our desire and our purpose in our life is to live faithfully to him until death, to finish the race, to stay on course until that end comes. And if that is the case, then we can have that same confidence in heaven eternally, just as Paul did. We're going to offer an invitation at this time, not knowing the heart of any who is here. But if you want to begin that Christian walk and then pursue it and maintain it until the end, you can start today, and we would encourage you to do so. We do not know what is on the morrow. Your life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We do not know when the Lord will come again. Today is the day of salvation, and we encourage you to make that commitment today, and we'll assist you if we can. If you have faltered in some way and need to get back on that right path, if you just need the encouragement of the brethren, we're here for you. If you have that need to come, we ask that you do so now, while together we stand and while we sing.